Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 499, Together at Last, recorded on August 6th, 2015. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And I'm your fourth host, Haas.
And we are here actually sitting in our condo at RTX. Actually, RTX hasn't quite started yet, but it starts tomorrow. And we're kind of leading up to our 500th episode, which is going to be our 10-year anniversary podcast panel at RTX, which is going to be lots and lots of fun. Have lots of good things set up for that, lots of prizes to give away at the panel and at our party as well, which we also put out the details for that on their website. So if you're in Austin somehow and you're at RTX somehow, then we want to see you at our party somehow. We're actually taking a restaurant, renting it out for a few hours. We're actually doing the Moonshine Patio Bar and Grill, which is actually just across the street from the convention center. So if you're hearing this, by the time that Saturday rolls around, then our party has probably already finished by the time you're listening to this. But if you manage to get this downloaded before and are listening, then we're actually having our party there in celebration of our 10-year anniversary. But before we get to that, we had a lot of info for Halo drop this week.
A lot of info.
Yeah, lots of Halo 5 info from Gamescom. Lots of big announcements. I think there's a general consensus that there's a lot more information shown at Gamescom than there was at E3.
Definitely.
Yeah. They showed off some new gameplay stuff with regards to the campaign and the new multiplayer maps, which I think they actually showed off solid gameplay from Fathom. And they showed off a new map, Colosseum.
Colosseum, yeah.
And was there one other map that they showed from?
They showed some Eden gameplay, and I thought that they also showed off Eden's remake,
Empire.
Empire. There was a little bit of Empire in there. It was only like
just
about
the changes.
It was just like, no, they didn't really show the changes. They only showed like about 4 or 5 seconds of gameplay.
I know The Sims came out with a gameplay.
Because I mean, Empire
today or yesterday.
Empire, all they did was add a few things in there to block off line sights and movement, stuff like that. So
there are major changes, though.
Yeah, there.
Yeah, they were changes, huge changes.
We've seen them. I mean, the Game Informer magazine had their little write up on what changed in there.
Seeing it actually with player movement from a player perspective, though,
right?
Definitely changes how you can look at the map.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. And I haven't watched any of the gameplay actually, other than what was on the Gamescom Xbox press brief. So I'm a little behind on all that stuff, especially with preparations for RTX, which has been somewhat of a nightmare. But lots of good campaign gameplay that I saw during the, or at least a little snippets. And I've heard some campaign gameplay has been shown off, specifically Blue Team in the campaign. So that's been interesting to hear. Has anyone here actually watched it? I think.
I have.
Haas and GT have seen it. What do you guys think of it?
What was it? It is beautiful.
Yeah?
If you guys watch this, crank it up to 1080p, 60 FPS, man.
It is
absolutely beautiful. It's the mission Blue Team, and they're going through, what was that station's name?
I don't remember the station's name.
Anyway, they're going through the station, and this is the area where you're going to be fighting hunters, and they open this. You're in, I'm guessing it's like an elevator or a like clean room or something like that. But you see this hunter assemble itself.
So what we see in the E3 trailer.
Yeah.
Not quite.
You're kind of seeing it at a different perspective,
except for this one is in an interior room.
Okay. I got you.
But anyway, you see this hunter assemble itself, and then take both fists and just slam against the glass. Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, because they're looking through a window, and you, of course, it spiders the glass.
Right.
And you get to hear some of the dialogue between Chief and Fred and Linda as they move through the level. But it's absolutely beautiful.
I loved seeing the player ordering system where you could direct your team, and also you got to see Chief. I think he was picking up Linda or Kelly from a down position.
The revive system. I
really liked seeing that. As a former Star Wars Republic Commando player, seeing that aspect of a game kind of enhanced and brought into Halo is really cool. Because I always liked that, and it looks so much prettier now because we're over 10 years since since Star Wars. But I thought that looked awesome, and I think for the person that plays alone, that will be really cool to have the ordering system, because I think we've all had our struggles with the Halo Cat companion AI and things like that.
It's all about Cat driving you off the edge.
I mean, now that you can sit in a turret and you can say, go to the left, and you don't have to worry about them falling off a cliff to the right, that should be really exciting.
Well, we think we don't have to worry about it, which you never know.
Well, the promise we're getting, or the words we're hearing,
right,
state that we won't have to worry about that, which is really refreshing, because that will allow you to enjoy the Halo campaign in a solo or a co-op experience, which for me, I haven't been able to enjoy a Halo game since probably Halo 1 solo. I've always wanted to play a co-op because
it's more of an experience.
It's more of an experience, and you can trust, for the most part, the person you're playing with than an unpredictable AI.
Depending on who you're playing with.
Yeah, correct. That truly does depend on who you're playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing with.
Pick your friends carefully.
Wisely. But something that I honestly am falling in love with this, because I'm a huge Mass Effect person, and I love the fact that you can kind of send your squad where you want to go. Mm-hmm. So seeing that implemented in Halo 5 in a way, it's actually really awesome looking.
Yeah, being able to say, go right while I flank left.
Exactly. Right? You know, and it makes me wonder how that's going to work too for speedrunners, because that could totally change drastically. Yeah. I mean, what tactics can they sit there and use to tell their squad to go that way, and how much time they can
chew off?
You
could see those records getting broken all the time once people figure out how to direct not your AI, but the enemy AI away from the attention of you. And then you can just run forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going
to checkpoint, and there they are in front of you again.
I wonder how many of those strategies are going to involve letting the AI go down and die.
Yeah,
and then
a lot of them.
You can't, and you have to go back and pick them up before you can advance to a checkpoint.
Yeah.
Well, no, because I'm sure the way the campaign's structured is that all players that are alive, whether they be AI controlled or you control them, have to make it to the checkpoint. You know, it's like in Halo 4, the level that where you use the mantises. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that Infinity?
No, not Infinity. You're on this Ivanov. But anyway.
On Ivanov.
When you get out of the
Composer. Composer.
Yeah, the Composer. When you get out of the Mantis, you run in and a Marine has to open the door.
Oh, yeah.
And to get the door to open faster, you kill the Marine. So I can see that type of thing happening.
I think there was a similar trick in Halo 3 on the Ark.
Yeah. Well, killing Marines is a speedrunner staple.
Yep.
It seems like pretty much every game there's
and now you'll
two,
be killing
level.
Blue Team and Fire Team Osiris.
That's horrible.
You'll be killing the heroes of the game.
I know, right?
But I think it's going to be something like that, where to load the next part of the level, all the players have to get to that safe area. So. Or you can wind up having to make the whole run and, you know, just straight through, no checkpoints.
Right. Well, and kind of off that same premise, if you think about having to have all the players or even like revived or respawn, that means that even if you get to an end, if your AI players aren't with you, you can't advance. And if they go down, you have to clear out the area before they can respawn, and then you can move on. So that'd be interesting if they've actually done that with the campaign.
Well, when we talked with Tim at E3, he made a very clear point. He goes, we take in consideration the speedrunners, like that's in there, like, you know, making different things, like choices that you have to go through with that. So,
well, he seemed to be more talking about different paths that you could take.
Right, right.
Not necessarily strategies involving killing your own teammates.
Well, no, not necessarily, but you got to remember, they know that that's a thing. Like I'm sure people watch... No,
and they probably use that to punish speedrunners.
Yeah, true. That's definitely true.
It's like, yeah, we noticed that you do this. Stop doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, they could take it either way. Yeah.
It's like, we're gonna see how cheeky you can get with this being a factor.
Yeah.
Because that'd be a real aspect of speedrunning for Halo 5 is now that you do have the whole squad, what's the requirements for completing a certain mission or a certain objective with their whole revive system? Does it be where the whole fire team has to be there at some point? And whether they respawn in or they are running with you, or is it going to be anyone that's currently alive and that's when it opens, like Left 4 Dead style? Because, I mean, Left 4 Dead is another example where you can't end the mission until everyone is in the safe room, or if one person is dead, everyone else is in the safe room, but then that person doesn't really count as being someone that made it.
Yeah.
I'm predicting it now. There's going to be an achievement where no teammates go down on heroic or legendary.
Lasso.
Oh, yeah. Mission.
Lasso. Ooh, boy. Speaking of which, we're going to be doing a couple achievements here while we're all here at RTX.
Mm-hmm.
Lasso, because we want to stay friends.
No, not Lasso.
But yeah, I don't want to sit there and put a controller.
Lasso at some point.
Yeah, I don't want to put a controller through like this window, like right behind you. Like, don't.
Oh. Yeah, you'd be paying for that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, we don't want to do that anywhere where we have to pay a security deposit.
Yeah, I would like that security deposit back. I need that money.
But, yeah, no, that should be fun.
Yeah, I thought what we saw in that B-roll footage was not only beautiful, but really telling the direction they're going for the single player experience. I mean, you can't really see what's coming from a co-op experience until you actually are playing it yourself. But seeing what a person playing solo will be able to go through is pretty exciting. And I loved just the look and the polish that the game clearly already has. And it didn't feel like this was a vertical slice that we were seeing, that they were chopping up into a B-roll. This looked like a near completed game that we still have 2.5-3 months till it comes out. So there's plenty more time for polish and, you know, cleaning it up and making it look even that much better, which I doubt we'll see a huge difference when release day comes. But I like seeing that from a game looking that good and that complete this early, because that means they can work out all the bugs and hopefully, fingers crossed, a very clean and smooth launch that Halo fans really need right now.
Oh, absolutely. After what we see with MCC, like, we need that desperately.
Yep.
Well, I mean, honestly, they're probably getting ready to go to press as far as on the discs. They can still work on the game because you have the update system, but I really, really hope they stay away from that day one update.
They won't go gold disc probably until,
say, like a month before, wouldn't you think?
6 to 8 weeks before.
Yeah.
Right. And well, actually, it might be as early as 4 because of the whole thing that the limited and the limited collectors are all digital. They're not disc.
Well, yeah, but now they're introducing that you can get a disc with it.
Well, you can trade it, but did they say that you'd be able to trade and have a disc on day one?
Yeah, they said that you can choose between the two.
No.
They haven't
released the details on it yet, but you trade your digital code for a physical disc.
But they haven't said when that disc would come in.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't said how they do it either. Whether you take it to the retailer you purchased it from, like if you bought it from a physical store, and you know they verify that the code hasn't been used and they hand you a physical copy of the game, or if it's something you have to mail to Microsoft and then they will mail you a physical disc after they verify the code hasn't been used.
I think a really smart way of doing this would just, through Xbox Live, have a form that you fill out and they can just void the code digitally, and in that form that you put your shipping address, and then they can expedite it to you. Say, because all these collector's editions are going to release on the 20th, so that you'll have a whole week, and hopefully they can quick, you know, Amazon Prime 2-day it to the physical disc to you. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be the best way of doing it, rather than having people go back to their retailers, because there's so many different retailers and they have so many different forms of technology. I think that would be the best way of doing it.
It'd be easy. It would. But honestly, I'm a disc type of person. I like having my copy in my hand. Like, always been that way. But my circumstances of downloading something early, like even getting MCC digitally, I don't think I'll honestly go to disc again. Like, I'll end up getting a disc later on as a collector standpoint. Exactly. But I honestly think I'll just get the download that day or whatever, pre-download it. And then as soon as the game launches, I'm booted up and you're ready to go.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I want to be ready to play. For me on the West Coast, it's really nice because it's 9 o'clock. When 9 o'clock hits, I'm playing Halo 5.
Oh yeah.
I'm not sitting here. Oh, okay. We're at 5% of this disc installing. Well, I guess I'm going to go upstairs and make a Hot Pocket.
And then you got to wait for the update that's going to sit there and take the thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question there's going to be an update. There's always an update. Doesn't matter the game. I don't think I've put a game in, I can't even remember one in 360 days where it didn't require some form of update the second I put it in the disc.
No, absolutely. Halo 3.
No, I recall there was some form of just update.
It got to be a kilobyte update or something. Like, I mean, something.
The size doesn't...
If it's below like 3 kilobytes, it's not really an update. It's probably like more a content license thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I really can count anything that's kilobytes an update.
I just hope it's not like gigs wise of like what we got with MCC, that 20 gig update.
Well, I think you might get that.
I never had 20 gig
possibly
update.
Possibly with Warzone.
Well, no, the whole... Wait, hold on. Let me rethink that.
Maybe altogether it's 20 gigs from every update that we've had.
I think the pre-release patch was like 20 gigs of all the maps and everything that they were loading.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you were downloading all the maps.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was weird.
I don't know. I'm expecting a much smoother launch this time.
Hopefully, yeah.
Definitely.
I think the launch will be smoother. I just don't want to see... I don't mind having a patch for like maybe a few small minor things, but it shouldn't be anything that's major to where you have to download something that's a gig for an update.
The only launch issues I truly fear is the DDoS type stuff that we are continuously running into this generation of consoles and tournaments. It just seems
Xbox
like
Xbox Live is just
and my fear is if that happens on Halo 5's release, that people are going to be like, oh, it's Halo's fault. Halo's broken.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everybody's going to have the avenues or doesn't choose to have the avenues to see that there's a DDoS attack or something along those lines. And then instantly it's going to be Halo under fire when probably a day or two later, the game's going to be up and running smooth.
Yeah.
I can't see Microsoft not investing time and energy that I can't imagine into making sure this game launches smooth, because they took a couple shots to the stomach and the head with MCC, and I don't think they liked it very much. And I think they're going to make sure that doesn't happen again, especially to their gem of a game.
Well, they need to fix Live. They need to fix the whole party system issue that's going on. They need to fix that every week. It seems like Xbox Live is down. Heck, it was even down during the HCS finals.
And almost every game night we try and have, there's some form of connection issue.
Yep.
Yeah, there's either somebody we can't hear in party chat, so we go to game chat, and then there's another person we can't hear in game chat. So it's almost to the point where we're starting a Skype call just so I can get everybody in the same chat.
Exactly. Because Skype works better than the freaking Xbox chat sometimes.
Yeah. Yep.
The thing I'm really excited about is talking grunts again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get it off. Yes. There's a subtle humor that Bungie had in their Halo games that was just completely gone in Halo 4.
Exactly. Certain and that is something I've really missed.
Yeah. It was one of those things where you can take Halo at its core very seriously in terms of multiplayer and campaign, but Bungie just had that nice touch of having humorous bits here and there, whether it was Sergeant Johnson, whether it was the witty remarks that Cortana had in cutscenes or dialogue, and then you had the grunt saying stuff. So there's just lots of little bits of humor in there that really lightens up the story, but doesn't detract from the experience that you get overall.
Yeah, I felt the Covenant in Halo 4 were even more alien than they were in Halo CE. In Halo CE, they were very alien. You didn't understand what they were saying, but you still got the same little quips from a grunt or, you know, they sounded like screaming babies when you killed a grunt or whatever. But you know, in Halo 2 and 3, you especially saw the dialogue of the Covenant kind of progress, and was fun to listen to them talking, fun to listen to them call you names, or, you know, anything along those lines. In Halo 4, I was facing monsters that didn't know who I was again.
Yeah, like they had that scratchy, really annoying tone that they, like, you just didn't understand like what they were saying regardless. But Halo 4 was one of those games where there's nothing really welcoming, honestly. Like, the only person that you were honestly talking to was your crewmates, and that was about it. That you, well, not necessarily talking to, but like the only thing you can understand, like, you're going around shooting aliens. Like, even in CE, like, you would still run into grunts and be like, enemy, or screaming, doing their little things that they do. And it was funny. Like, it was funny. And that wasn't there in Halo 4.
What I'm really loving about Halo 5, it's exactly these kinds of things. When you look at Halo 4, it's like you're standing far away from a painting and it looks beautiful. But when you get up close, it's all those fine details that are just a mess. And now I'm now I feel like I'm getting close to this picture, and the edges are clean, you know, the points are clean, the colors don't bleed in with one another. It really looks like they found what we loved about Halo without knowing we loved it about Halo.
That balance that we wanted.
Yeah. So another thing that we got an announcement for at Gamescom was Halo Wars 2 that is coming to both Windows 10 and Xbox One, which I'm hoping that means cross-platform.
That's pretty cool. Exciting and a scary thing for the mouse and keyboard on an RTS. Is if any of you guys have played StarCraft or anything like that, you can run that a lot smoother than you could Halo Wars with a controller. But with that said, it looks like Phil Spencer has come out and said they are looking into mouse and keyboard support on Xbox One. So that may not be the disadvantage today that it would be when that game finally does launch.
Right.
True. That would, for a lot of people, it'd make the game a lot more simple to play. We were talking about this earlier, and I'm not an RTS person, but I absolutely loved Halo Wars. Still do. I still play it from time to time. I don't play online anymore. I just play campaign. Because the guys online,
it's one of those.
Not even going to.
You can play me. I'll be on your level. We can play against each other.
Halo Wars is a game.
We can work on getting those achievements together.
Halo Wars is a game that I suck at so bad, but I love playing. And I do not have that game outside of that. I hate sucking at games. I'm too competitive of a player to suck at a game. But Halo Wars, I will gladly suck. Because I can do the campaign. I'll get irritated, but I can still complete it. On multiplayer, it's a different kind of challenge. I know I suck, but at the same time, it's fun because you're sending Marines out. You're controlling the ODSTs.
That
God mentality. Even though I'm the weaker God, it's fun to be that role.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this. I didn't really care for Halo Wars. I mean, I just didn't. I didn't like the way it felt. But I think the thing that I liked most out of that was the base building. Like, you know, you could make your own bases and then have your reactors and all these different things. I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, it was pretty different from a lot of the whole RTSs that you see on PCs now, where you could build any one of your buildings anywhere.
Yeah.
But now you had a centralized base where you had your central troop deployment. You had your infantry come in, whether it's via dropship or whatever. And then you have your energy, your research, your tech, all in this one base. So it's all centralized, which for console, it made it a lot easier because you have so much limited movement with controller and whatnot.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's, you know, they're over a regular RTS game. Halo Wars did have to make some compromises to make it work on console.
Right.
And to work with a controller, because you only have so many buttons on a controller, where, you know, a keyboard, you can make keyboard do whatever you want. You get enough buttons. But I'm really looking forward to Halo Wars 2. The cutscene that they showed just as a trailer.
Which, well, at part? Least
I hope I hope that is a cutscene and not just a trailer. We're talking. I hope Blur's doing them.
It looks like it.
Yeah,
from what I saw, like it looked like a Blur video.
Well, I mean, even in the first Halo Wars, the cutscenes looked incredible.
Yeah, that's because Blur did them.
Yeah, Blur did them.
But With the quality of work they did with the Halo 2 cutscenes, you know, the remasters there, and what that little bit we saw in the trailer. I'm really looking forward to the cutscenes, but I want to know what the story, where they're going to put the story. You know, are we still going to be?
It's not going to be Spirit of the Fire. I don't.
Well, I mean, are we still going to be before Reach? Are we going to be? You know, are we just moving along in the same timeline? Because, you know, this is all happening before, you know, before the fall of Reach, or yeah, Halo Wars happened before the fall of Reach. You know, where are we going to put this game?
I could see
in the timeline
this falling between Halo 3 and Halo 4, or between Halo 4 and Halo 5.
I hope it's between 4 and 5.
I kind of want it to be a continuation of the Spirit of Fire.
Really?
Yeah, because we...
But that continuation got picked up in Escalation. We know where that continuation picks up.
Kind of.
They never actually did
just because
show the Spirit of Fire.
Yeah, we don't know how the Spirit of Fire got to the state with there's a flood effect.
I guess, no, that was Initiation, wasn't Escalation.
The only thing I've ever seen is Escalation when
Initiation.
They were getting the radio signal.
Yeah, they were getting the radio signal, and they had like 2 pages.
Yeah, and then at the very end, it shows a picture of it looks like a hallway along the ship, and there's a flood.
Yeah,
flood infection. And that was it. They never revisited that. And now that I think about it, that was definitely a tease for Halo Wars 2. So I think this is definitely a Spirit of Fire, and maybe kind of like in the form of Reach, where you already know the ending, but you don't know how they got there.
Yeah.
Well, it could be a simple fact. They could put it in between Halo 3 and Halo 4.
Timeline-wise, but...
Halo 4 and Halo 5 and still follow the Spirit of Fire, but how it gets, you know, how they get rediscovered, or, you know, their battles that they've had since then, just in, you know, the current times.
It just feels to me that there's going to be another storyline that they'll introduce into the universe through Halo Wars 2.
I would have no doubt, and it would not surprise me if they did bring in a new story.
Yeah.
Would I like to see them continue the Spirit of Fire story? Oh, hell yeah. But, you know, they'll probably bring in something new.
I do like the last scene of that trailer.
Mm-hmm. Run, little demons.
Yeah. That was brutally chilling.
I had to watch it 3 times to understand what he said.
I couldn't get the last word until you just said it. Now I know what it is.
Yeah, it's when he... I'm like, what did he say? And I roll it back. And each time I got just a little bit more of it. And then that last time the whole thing came through and I'm like, oh my
God. That brute, I can just... I mean, those Spartans were not staying around for that guy.
No.
So,
and they had the Marine dragging that was firing the pistol.
Yeah. I mean, so they wanted nothing to do with
it
this
guy. It was grim.
So and
dark.
So
it was awesome.
I kind of wonder if like maybe we're getting that brute size that we saw in Halo Legends that was facing Leet or 1337, the doofy Spartan.
Giant dude.
Yeah, like a giant form brute. I mean, I doubt that he's
Pluto.
That.
Pluto, yeah.
I or doubt Punto.
It's Bonnie Ross's Twitter
handle. Yeah, I doubt Punto. That he's going to be that big, but I don't know.
That'd be a massive
brute. Now that Bonnie
brute.
Ross came out and announced Halo Wars 2, that'd be kind of just like just a little tease without anybody even
so
knowing
funny.
It. That would just be really funny. Like, it's Pluto's offspring, or Pluto.
Dude,
I mean,
that's
maybe
a
not
big...
that size, but having a brute that's truly chilling to a team of Spartans and Marines,
yeah.
To strike fear in someone like you got to be some big badass mother effer.
I mean, well, yeah, it's. I have no doubt that this is a big brute,
mm-hmm.
But I think the fear is more his combat techniques or skill that would be more apt to scare a Spartan.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what we've seen Spartans deal with in the past and get through, it would take a lot to scare a Spartan.
Well, the first time Master Chief encountered a brute, it almost killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, brutes are, they're no easy enemy. They're no grunt or jackal.
I mean, look at Halo 2 when they go berserk mode. Like,
well,
they just start whopping on you.
In Halo 2, the thing I'm really liking about this brute that we've only seen his face,
mm-hmm.
really, I felt intimidated by him. I was a gamer going up head to head with this guy. Now we're not going to be going up into him in a first person mode, but that guy was way scarier than I ever remember Tartarus being.
Yeah.
Like Tartarus, I was like, what's with the white ape?
Well, a lot of that could have to do with just this difference in the graphics.
Yeah.
When you meet Tartarus, you know,
Back to the original Halo 2. That graphics was mind blowing to me.
Yeah. Yes, it was mind blowing.
Sure. Yeah, at the time. So I'm saying even when Halo 2, I was playing it for the first time, I never felt that fear of him. I was like, this guy's a douche and he's white.
Yeah. Like I said, a lot of that had to do with the graphics, because, you know, even in just what they were doing for movie effects would, yeah, just blow your minds, and it's you're desensitized to it.
That's very true.
Now, if you took Halo 2 and released it in the time frame of Halo, the original Halo, you would probably pick up a lot more of the fear of Tartarus.
Maybe
right now, after reading some of the lore regarding Tartarus, I have a lot more respect for the dude.
Oh, yeah.
Respect or fear?
I don't know. Like,
I don't want to catch Tartarus you anywhere.
To me is Caesar from the first Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
And then this new guy, he's Caesar from Planet of the Apes 2, where he's got the war paint on. Like, yeah. This guy means business.
Yeah.
And if you cross him,
business.
This monkey knows how to use a gun.
Mm.
This monkey knows how to use a gun.
But the Halo Wars 2, that was, you know, don't get me wrong, I loved all the Halo 5 stuff, but as far as from this conference, that was probably my favorite piece of information.
I think overall in Halo news, Gamescom blew me away more than E3. And I've told you guys plenty of times, E3 was a little underwhelming to me. And that is just my own personal feeling for my own personal reasons. But you know, this just, it was exciting. Like everything they showed, everything that's come out has been exciting.
I finally like my Warzone.
Warzone was really cool. But
I mean,
I'm more of an, you know, the competitive esports fan.
I'm being facetious.
Yeah, seeing that was really exciting. Seeing a new map was exciting. Seeing the B-roll footage, even though that wasn't part of the Gamescom conference, come out, and seeing Blue Team interact like we've discussed, that was cool. Seeing, you know, the updates to some of these maps, seeing Fathom. I think Fathom looks gorgeous. Right now, that is the best looking map that I have seen. Colosseum kind of looks like a Forge map to me. I don't know if you guys felt that way.
It seemed a little bit.
There were elements in there that reminded me of Forge. And maybe it is Forge, and it's just the capabilities of what Forge can do in Halo 5. I mean,
look at what were the Forge maps in the beta? Pegasus and Orion.
Yeah.
Like, those were pretty good looking, in my opinion. Yeah,
well, this one had the overgrowth of the vegetation on the map.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked a lot more polished than a Forge map would.
Well, yes.
And it's not just the shapes, it's the, excuse me, the finishes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything. Now, they could be stepping Forge up to this level.
We
don't know yet,
but they could.
But what I was seeing in there, the way they had the integrated lights,
yeah,
and the shapes and the sheen of the pieces in the map, it just didn't strike me as it being built in Forge.
I don't.
Now, does it remind me of a lot of Forge maps I've seen? Yes.
Yeah.
Because it has that. It is a very heavily, it's a Forerunner themed map, and we've all seen lots of Forerunner theme maps, so it does look, it does, I can see where you get that Forge
that may map be feel. What I'm clinging on to, but what we've seen of Forge, I think, not a Halo game, but Crackdown, and what they're teasing and talking about with what the cloud is able to do for the Xbox,
mm-hmm.
maybe 343 has had some form of this. I mean, they're obviously already using it in campaign. So what if this cloud power is also coming to Halo's multiplayer and they're able to use it within a Forge and you're really able to push the Xbox 20 times more than the console is capable of by itself? I mean, who knows? I doubt it. But if we're starting to see this come from other games, who knows what Halo has? I mean, we don't know everything. We probably never will. But I think the possibilities that are out there are beyond our imagination.
Well, look at Halo 4, what it did with the 360.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah, there was a big difference there. It just to me seems like the map.
More of a pre-built.
What looked a lot more pre-built to me. Which because, just because of the quality of the finish on it, it just seemed to be a lot more polished than a Forge map would be.
Yeah.
You know, granted, the Forge maps we saw in the beta were, you know, they did not have their finished textures on them or anything like that. It is basically just to give you a kind of a lay of the land, give you the shapes and stuff like that.
I'm really hoping we get Forge info at PAX.
That'd be nice. Well, they've done a lot of stuff.
Forge. Yeah, I'm really excited to see what Forge is capable of, because I think that's probably the biggest thing that we've seen so little of.
Oh, absolutely.
Pegasus and Orion, yeah, we saw, but we didn't see. We got a pre-built thing that we didn't get to see what
like
our
toolkit.
We didn't get to play with it.
Yeah.
I want to bring out the toolbox. Let's show this thing off, because
I mean, if anything, the beta only raised more questions than we did anything else, because
we should hit up certain Infinity while we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See if we can get some hands on with
totally Ford. Down for that.
I mean, you remember, like, Pegasus was in one time a day and then Orion was on another. And then you had that whole intro of that giant landscape that the map was on. So, like, it makes you wonder.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't the breakout maps Forge as well?
They are Forge.
Yes. They are Forge. Yes. I mean, they're not, that was more block and triangle.
Yeah.
Form, but I really like that, too. I love the look of Breakout.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm looking forward to Forge on Breakout a little bit more than just regular Forge, because I want to see what people can come up with that.
Well, I mean, that, like, game you style. Could see your footprints on that
Yeah.
map.
Yeah, like, that could be a game in itself. That
was very Tron-esque.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if they're able to do that on that map, where when you're walking across a piece and your footsteps are showing in real time, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe they are capable of doing some, you know, maybe you got a bridge, but you can choose wood bridge. You can choose a metal bridge with some vegetation on it. You know, you can change the palette and the look of those pieces more than just red, blue, green, yellow, purple.
You can see your footprints in the normal game. They're just not as apparent, I think.
Well, I know, but more you get the more animated look to it, and it's like right
in whole
your
virtual
face.
Environment. It's designed to be.
If I'm sneaking around a corner and a player is looking at the ground coming around the corner as well, he might get a chance to know, oh, somebody just went around that corner.
As far as the beta, we didn't have any place. We really didn't have any place where we could see our footprints, because we were the only place that would really showed up was in the breakout arenas, because everything else you were on, you know, metal surfaces. You know, we weren't on a sand map.
Right.
I mean, you know,
dirt or grass or whatever. Yeah.
So I hope they do it. And a lot of the other games that are out there do it. The whole cloud computing part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a lot of that, you know, over your internet connection, but the game still has to render it, or the Xbox still has to render it.
Right.
You know, you can move a lot of that stuff onto the cloud, but you know, the graphics card still got to do the work, and there's only so many things it can do.
That's true.
It's looking really promising. The maps, you know, the maps they showed, that Colosseum, beautiful map. And I love the layout of it, and we finally got our first look at power-ups.
Yeah.
And they're actual power-ups. They're pickups on the map. We saw Overshield and we saw Invisibility. And I love the animation for activate them.
Pretty much like stick it in your.
No, it's like you prime in a grenade. You pull it out and you hit a button, activate it. It is cool. You know, in the past where, you know, you just picked it up and it was active.
Yeah.
Or you had to hit X and then it was active. You know, the only time you really got an animation is when you were deploying the bubble shield. You would see your hand kind of fling it out there, or, you know, the trip mine or something like that. But if it was an overshield, nothing. Invisibility, nothing.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that when you have to activate the item, and that you have the animation and it comes up in your screen where you can clearly see it, and you push the button in and it kind of disappears in your hand, but it looks really cool.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like that little bit of, you know, that little animation makes the game a little bit more better than what we've seen before, which is nice.
Makes us little, just brings in a little bit of reality to two things.
Definitely. So another thing that we saw during the Gamescom press brief was the over $1 million prize pool for the Halo World Championship, which is going to take place in Halo 5 this coming winter.
Can't wait.
An extension of the Halo Championship series. So I don't know if this is going to be something that's a continuation or like a season 3 for HCS, but this seems like a completely separate event. And the prize pool in total is over $1 million. It doesn't necessarily mean the first place wins $1 million, but they'll get some kind of portion of that, and details of that I'm sure to come later. But that's kind of been a big deal and a big talk as of late, because we have other competitive esports scenes that get a lot of money. Call of Duty has had Activision support hundreds of thousands of dollars and even $1 million plus prize pools for world championships. So Microsoft's hopping on that bandwagon for Halo 5.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it looks promising that way. You know, this like HCS, like esports, MLG, anything. I've always loved it. I've always loved watching and learning new plays from different players. I mean, Halo 5 is something that I think personally I'm going to do very well at just from playing that beta. I mean, like, granted, we play Warzone and stuff like that, but this is an evolved game, and like there's so much going on compared to Halo 2. Halo 2 is that vanilla, straight, you know, this is it. With Halo 5, there's going to be, you know, you have Thruster Pack, you have Clamber, you have all these different things that are coming in that can be changing. It's going to be interesting to see how the players adapt to those changes.
Right.
And how they're going to be able to use them effectively.
Well, the gameplay they showed on Coliseum during the Gamescom press conference, you could already see how they were adapting to having the Spartan abilities, how they were using them. The gameplay they were showing was a capture of the flag match, which, by the way, flag juggling is back.
Yay.
And you still get the flagdom.
Yep.
That's going to be an interesting way of doing it. Like, did they explain that fully? Like, having the mat, like, you could sit there and have flag juggling. Like, does that animation constantly come up with a pistol? Or, like, how does that work?
Yeah, so you pick up the flag, and it's the same thing as Halo 4, where you have the pistol. And then when you drop the flag, you switch back to your...
Okay.
Whatever weapon you had. You
switch back to your pistol or whatever weapon you happen to have.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Gotcha. The way they were using the thruster pack to actually help move the flag, it was in the clamber in just using it. I can't believe these guys have picked this up so quickly. And it was just such a smooth motion that I honestly, until they said something, I missed it.
Right.
Because they went, European team got the flag. They were going across, just dead straight across the middle. And the way the map's designed, in the middle, you have a drop off, and then there's another step down. So you have to clamber up over a ledge to come back up to run into your base. He throws the flag down there because he's getting shot, cleans up the kill, grabs the flag, grabs the flag, throws it, throws it, and then another player cleans up the kill. But he gets it back to the base, and I've never seen anybody move a flag across the map so fast.
Yeah.
And it just, to see them adapt that quickly to having these extra abilities is awesome.
Well, I mean, that's just it right there. I mean, they're adapting as of now. Like, they got these things in. It just makes you wonder how, like, playing it further in, like, what else they come up with.
Oh, you know, when they start chaining those abilities together.
Yeah.
When they really figure out the timing on the abilities, you're going to see some amazing plays.
Yeah.
There's going to be some clutch moments in that. Now, one of the really weird things that I saw in the video, and this was at the very end, is that it's sponsored by ESL, MLG, Twitch, and YouTube Gaming, which is kind of odd because ESL and MLG, they're kind of two competitors in terms of esports space. And then Twitch and YouTube Gaming, which is basically the same thing, the whole streaming video, gaming video.
And again, you've got competitors.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, YouTube and Twitch are competing for the same market. So, that is an interesting assembly of sponsors. Because usually you'll get, you know, you don't get in like the auto parts world, you don't get O'Reilly's and Napa sponsoring the same car.
Yeah.
because they are direct competitors.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting to see what happens with that, because like maybe YouTube gaming, you'll have different teams using different partners. Maybe like, is that something that like, maybe like each team will stream through different things? Like maybe that's, like,
I don't know.
It's interesting. I've never seen anything like this.
Well, so. The funny thing is you've got two managing partners too, MLG and ESL. Who's going to actually run the tournament?
I would think ESL would. Maybe MLG. I don't know.
I really don't know. And the other thing too is that everyone on MLG, if you're an MLG team, you have to stream on MLG TV. So kind of in a way, MLG is also competing with Twitch and YouTube gaming. So this is a very interesting move to have all of these four companies being a part of the world championship.
No, well, maybe they'll do something like, you know, the preliminaries are on YouTube, semifinals are on Twitch, and then the finals will be on MLG.
I can't see them doing something like that because
it would be confusing their audience.
Right. And it's one of those things that I don't know the internal politics of it. Golden Boy might know. Yeah. Golden Boy may know something about it, so maybe able to ask him at PAX or something. The only thing is, I would like to go to this thing. It's just a matter of when and where it's going to be and how long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long Call of Duty or League or Counter-Strike, how long those world finals are. I think they're just mostly weekend-based stuff with qualifiers maybe earlier in the week. So it would be something cool to go to and be able to check out. So I'm hoping they announce something like that soon, or hopefully Bravo can sneak me some of the details so I can see whether or not I can go. Cause that's something that would be interesting to cover.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, I'd be full in to go to one of these. I mean, I was close enough to sit there and go to one of these when I was at Gamescom there, you know, just watching them practice was just incredible. Like that was just loving every minute of it, just seeing these guys play it. So,
right.
I think this is probably the first time ever. I mean, Halo 2 Anniversary was awesome to watch. It was, but to me, it wasn't anything special because it was, you know, the same game that we've seen before, just better graphics.
Yeah.
So this is something that I'm honestly willing to participate in a lot.
Well, even in Halo 2A, it's still amazing to watch these guys take the game mechanics that they have available to them and use them in unique ways.
I mean, heck, just look at the season 2 finals
for
some of the crazy stuff that they did in that. Heck, there was even an extermination in one of the games.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's on the pro level. That is hard to get. That is extremely hard to get.
Hey, on my level, it's hard to get. Oh.
Yeah, mine too. Oh, let's see. What else did they cover? We talked about... they also announced the actual Halo 5 console. Controller.
Order.
Astro A40s.
Oh, yes.
Which all are awesome, and all I'll be pre-ordering, and my wallet will hate me come October if it doesn't already hate me for RTX and the rest of the conventions I've been to this year.
I got to see them firsthand while I was at Gamescom. Those things, it looks incredible.
Yeah.
The Halo, like, I'm not going to be able to get the Halo 5 console. I can say that much right now. Like, I don't have the budget for it.
I pre-ordered mine.
You son too. Of a...
So, but
I'll be both controllers.
Head on over to the website and click our link, and we'll get a small portion of that back from the affiliate program. So, yeah, do that.
But, I'm glad I didn't buy Astros until now. Like, I saved to get those Astros because those Halo 5 Astros look insane. Like, they look sick. I've always wanted the A40s. The A50s were nice, but just with the Mix Amp Pro and all that stuff, I wanted something like that.
Right. So. And the other thing about the console is it has the gray and blue theme that's been pretty prevalent in Halo, I think, for the last few years, especially with Halo 4. And then you have the Chief controller, which is all green and then has gold and black elements to it that really kind of...
It's Master Chief colors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This blue and gray looks way more in tune with Locke than the traditional.
Well, yeah, right. The thing that I noticed right away when I was looking at it was the honeycomb.
The visor?
There's like a visor, honeycomb thing. Like
I love that pattern.
It was
honeycombs.
Really Like, it definitely, I love the colors of it. Like, the word, the dish tray, like the eject stuff, that's all like that really metallic blue. That was nice. I like that.
Like, but how they actually put detail in and actually made the case really customized, not like they did for the Master Chief Collection console or the,
where it just looked like HCS a sticker.
It just looked like a slap-on sticker you can buy yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
And this, then the HCS wrap console, which was just laser etched.
This looks like more in tune with like the San Diego Comic-Con console line that we were seeing from all the different games.
Yeah.
And even I think they kind of figured that out from the first run of special edition consoles to now, because you're seeing a lot more in tune to the game that they're supposed to be presenting. You see it in the Forza bundle, you're seeing it in the Halo bundle. It's telling you a story about the game without telling you the story.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot into this console. Like, you notice a lot of things too. Like, it's not just like, I noticed seeing Healy like patterns in there too.
And all the different logos. Like, I think I saw an ODST logo on there.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff into this.
On the console.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the controller, the Master Chief one, has all the blue teams.
Yep.
Spartan numbers on the side, and it has the 117 Braille on it. That to me was like, you're $70, I'm buying you.
So just to make sure, because I didn't fully understand, like, are these controllers separately from the console you can buy?
Still, they're separate. The blue and gray one, you can buy both controllers separate. They are both available for pre-order.
The console comes with the
blue. Yeah, the console comes with the lock one.
The Master Chief one, you can only buy separately.
Right.
The
blue and gray one,
you get one with the console, or you can purchase it separately.
Just make sure you get a Capital One No Hassle card before you start buying all this stuff for Halo, because you don't want to be hassled.
Yeah.
Give me my money, Capital One.
I'm screwed when it comes to money for this.
Once all this stuff started coming out, I instantly was like, oh, I'm married and I have a daughter. What am I going to do here? So I started emailing the wife. So they announced the Halo Special Edition console.
You ain't getting crap.
And she goes, oh. Sucks really?
You.
you're already getting a $250 game. Don't you remember that? Maybe I want the console more. Well, pick one.
The dilemma.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that I have my heart set on right now is the Astro A40s, the Halo 5 Astro A40s, and the limited collector's edition for Halo 5.
Yeah.
That's all I got. And then if those controllers are like the third on the burner right now.
Well, what I'm really loving about this console bundle is normally, with a console bundle, you're just getting the standard edition of the game. But this one, you're getting the limited edition. Like, you're not getting the base tier game. You're actually going to get a little bit more. And there's some special downloads in there that you won't be able to get if you just buy the limited edition game or the limited collector. No,
that's not true.
No,
there's an armor. The FOTOS armor is exclusive to the console.
You can still unlock it normally.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
So it's just like all the
pre-order stuff that we had for Halo 4, where you pre-ordered it at certain retailers or whatnot. Eventually. You can still unlock it. Like, you can still get the rec pack to unlock the FOTOS armor.
I don't remember unlocking.
So there's nothing coming with the collector's edition or the
limited edition. Well, with Halo 4, you could not. The only way you could get the
FOTOS was a console.
Yeah, it was the console. FOTOS
was the console.
Until the Game of the Year edition came out. You couldn't get the FOTOS any other way.
No, the FOTOS armor wasn't even with the Game of the Year. The only thing that you got with the Game of the Year was the Deadeye armor and the Halo.
So FOTOS wasn't in there until
MCC.
Yeah, yeah, none of the pre-order bonuses for Halo 4 was unattainable other than the pre-order. You could get them by playing the game, whether it's...
But you couldn't get the FOTOS.
No.
There was no way to get the FOTOS.
I got the FOTOS.
Did
you get a code for it?
Yeah, but you have a Halo 4 console. It was a console exclusive.
I don't think I redeemed that code, though.
It's the only way you were able to get that.
I will 100% stand on. Yeah. I think FOTOS wasn't exclusive to the console.
Same thing with Deadeye. You were only able to get the Deadeye helmet with Best Buy pre-order.
Yep.
Mm.
So that's the only way you're able to unlock Deadeye.
I was pretty sure those pre-orders were still unlockable by
only certain ones. The GameStop one you could unlock later on. That was the only one that I knew of. But the Deadeye one was the only one.
The only one that I knew of that you couldn't unlock was the FOTOS. which was the console exclusive.
Yeah,
all the pre-order stuff was unlockable. You just had to do something stupid hard to get it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Halo Waypoint forums here, and you can unlock everything except for the photos.
Even Deadeye.
There you go. Photos. Photos so only.
I'm hoping. I'm not going to wear it, but.
You don't watch staff. Imagine an animation with that, with the photos armor. Dude, like, stab somebody with your horn.
Yeah, when you're charging.
Unicorn punch. Spartan charge him.
Oh, seriously, if someone comes and teabags you, it should just be like you're taking damage as you go down. Oh,
my. Yeah, they die with their head up.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
Oh. And their head sticks to your
teabag, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Their head sticks to your butt.
It's stuck.
Oh, you're running around the map and you're moving slow.
Easy target.
That's moving so on. Wrong. But yeah, the Astro A40s look pretty amazing. I'm going to get those probably after the game comes out because I'm focused on the console, the limited collector's edition, and the Master Chief controller. So it's going to join my 360 Halo 4 Xbox that's on my desk right now.
Something that I wanted to bring up that I almost flipped over. There's it's $70 at my local GameStop. They have an OD, a Halo Reach limited console. The silver one with the Oni side on the side. It was $70 at GameStop. Oh, I'm grabbing it.
Yeah,
if it's still there.
It's no one ever.
Remember, he really lives on the boonies. He probably only shops with three other people that go to that GameStop.
Okay, well, you know, there might be one of those other three to come in there and get it. Speaking of which, earlier today I was looking at Amazon, and you can still buy a Halo Reach console. Or sorry, Halo 4 console, new, in box, sealed, and it's only $550.
Yeah, that's never selling.
No.
And they only had two left, so if you guys are looking for one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I want to pay outrageous.
Yeah, I'm going console, and unless some miracle happens, I think the limited collector's edition is going to be a later purchase, and I think I'll probably pick up the Master Chief collection, or the Master Chief controller, and an Elite controller for Halo 5, but I think a lot of this other stuff, I'm going to have to hope that speaker tags come separately, or I don't need a third pair of Astro A40s in my house. I really don't.
Well, I mean, this, like I said,
I lost my first pair.
Yeah.
Stupid airlines.
I mean, I think
that's stupid me for leaving it in the first place.
We could start there, but I was trying to be nice.
Well, thank you.
I mean, it kind of works out for me because I need a new headset desperately.
Yeah.
I mean,
somebody in the market. Getting, absolutely. Yeah. But for somebody that already has two pairs sitting on their shelf,
I completely understand. I'm like,
I don't want to spend another $200 to $300 on headphones.
Yeah.
Right.
When mine are working perfect.
Yeah. Well, with the headphone, does it come with the M80?
Yeah. Which I'm not a big fan of the M80 personally. No.
Can you hook it up to the MXM Pro though?
Yes, you can.
Okay, then
That's what I did to kind of cut the corner. I already had the MXM Pro, so I just bought another pair of A40s. With the M80, so if I need to take my Astros on the road, I have that quick option of just plugging it in, or when I'm at home, I can just plug them right back into my mix amp and have my traditional A40 experience.
There you go, and
the M80 is only stereo, and
right,
no thanks.
Another thing to the console too, which we haven't touched on quite yet, is, and there was a whole Forbes article about this for some random reason, but it has custom sounds,
which I love.
What is? Did they show the sounds?
I haven't seen anything on the sounds, but
I just know it's custom.
I think they're getting smarter with the sounds because the Forza 6 console sounds, as a Forza fan and as a car sound lover, eggs were dropping. I mean, like those are some hot sounds, and I'm hoping the Halo 5 console has those cool sounds.
So,
which I like.
Engine when you turn on the power button.
Yeah, the power button, the eject button. I really liked the sounds of the Halo Reach console with the overshield.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Halo 4's ones.
The Halo 4 ones, I was like.
They kind of suck.
I felt like I was getting in trouble.
Yeah. It's like, Xbox is going to explode in 5.
That's
4.
The sound that you have when your mom's about to kick in the door because you stayed up past your bedtime.
Pretty much.
You hit the power button and try and jump in bed before she walks in, and. You got the perfect sound intro.
The thing is, you got smart with it. You didn't hit the power button because she would have heard it. You just pulled the power cord and then that's trust me, I've learned from experience.
I act smarter than I am.
Or you just use the controller to turn on and off the console.
Well, yeah, but if
you're still makes the sound.
If you're in a quick jump, if you use a controller.
Because the sounds only happen if you touch the button.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I forget what the eject button was. Eject was like wah, and then the power button was da 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 da.
Yeah, it was the wah. Yeah,
Judge Judy entering the room.
Oh gosh.
So,
and it also has a terabyte hard drive.
Yes,
that's what I was gonna just say.
I kind of wish
they could have came out with a
I think a 2 terabyte would have been ideal.
So they're coming out with a 2 terabyte.
Well, the external. I mean, I have it a 2 terabyte.
I think they have plans for it like down the road.
Well,
but it's one of those things where Xbox should have taken a page out of PlayStation 3's book and say, okay, you can stick any hard drive in here that you want, and then we'll format it with the correct file system.
Yeah.
Well, it should have been just having a replaceable hard drive.
I mean, seeing
like they did with the 360 would have been perfectly fine.
Well,
Slim.
Well, the crappy thing about those is they were proprietary.
Well, even still,
but
if you wanted to upgrade upgrade your capacity. Granted, it was more expensive than just going out and buying a hard drive, but it wasn't that unreasonable.
Well, and especially now that every game has to be installed on your console. A terabyte isn't even that much. 500 gigs is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
A terabyte is
I have
reasonable.
Like five games on mine. I have half of it.
I have my 500 Xbox filled. I have a 2 terabyte along with that. So I have 2.5 terabytes and I'm at 49% full.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I probably have more games than the average person, but
every free game that's ever came out.
Every free game. And I've been fortunate enough to have some games given to me and download tokens. And it adds up really quick. At 30 to 60 gigs a game, you're getting.
Remember the good old days?
Maybe like, 10 games.
Like
when you put the disc in and it just ran?
Yeah, no, not even that. Like when you sit there and install the game, it was like 5 gigs.
Well, I love the digital. I love being able to say
big HD and high graphic fidelity and whatnot.
I love being able to switch games without switching a disc. I really do like the convenience of that.
It's still slow as hell on the Xbox One, though.
Hopefully that gets corrected.
It's slow.
Swappable hard drive is what we need on an Xbox.
I think so.
And honestly, I don't care if it's proprietary. It would be great if you could just slap whatever hard drive you want in there. But I can kind of understand that they want drives in there that meet their specifications, which is totally cool. I don't have a problem with it. That is, just one of the other flaws that they really should have addressed with the Xbox One is it should have had a replaceable hard drive.
Hopefully the often rumored since release Xbox One Slim that does one day come has that option on there for
perhaps. Yeah.
I mean, it would be a great design choice
for them to do that. Because the Xbox One is a bulky piece to lug around.
It is. I feel bad for you that you had to haul that thing. That added an extra.
We had a nice game of split screen Halo 2 anniversary.
That's all a matter of opinion because I don't share that feeling.
Yeah, I have a clip to show you guys after the podcast.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yes. Let's see. Was there anything else that really came around? We talked about Halo Wars 2, the console, the Astros, the World Championship.
Controllers.
The campaign gameplay and multiplayer gameplay.
Bummer, I missed the $1 million.
I think that was it.
I will say this, though. Going back to what Haas was saying, I think this time around at Gamescom, it was a little bit more hype. But for as long as the stage goes along with things, I think the presentation at E3 was a little bit better with the HoloLens deal.
Well, I think talking an Xbox.
I'm just saying because when I was there, there wasn't really anything special. I mean, they had Warzone going on. What was nice though is that they did actually have the pro controllers able to play as on Halo 5, which was nice.
I'm really excited to see what those pro controllers can do for Halo players and not just the competitive minded players, but there are going to be players that are not super competitive, but seeing what those controllers can do for the person that just wants to get on and have a good time. but it gives them that extra help, and it gives them that, I mean, it's not a huge help. It's not going to turn them into a level 35 to a 50 in Halo 2, but it will give them that, you know, 35 to 37 type change. You know, it's just that little extra thing. It's not a cheating. It's not anything along those lines, but it gives the player more options. And I think big picture, that's what gamers want, is more options on how to enjoy their game. And this controller is doing that. These different modes that Halo is offering is giving us that. All the different things they've added to campaign, to multiplayer. Adding Warzone is probably still to this day, biggest picture of Halo 5 is exactly what Halo has been needing, is that welcoming playlist where you don't have to be a seasoned Halo player to enjoy Halo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it, the rec packs and everything that come along with it benefit all of Halo. We're getting free DLC because of Warzone's rec packs. The prize pools for esports are going to be bigger because of this. I mean, they're really doing it right. They're giving players options, and they're also making the Halo community better, the Halo franchise better with it.
Yeah. So I think that's going to pretty much wrap it up for us. I don't think there's anything else to talk from specifically at Gamescom. Granted, if there's anything else that comes up, we'll obviously talk about it after RTX, because we're pretty swamped with getting everything ready for that as far as the panel and the party and everything. Unfortunately, 343 is not here since they're going to be wrapping up at Gamescom. So we will be missing them dearly at our party,
yeah,
our panel.
We're looking around this room. A lot of people look really tired.
Yeah.
It's East Coasters.
Midnight
where you Germans, are right now. You germaphobes.
So we are actually going to hit the sack, I think, for most of us, unless someone decides to take a shower first. But that's going to wrap it up. I think for the whole Gamescom thing, we'll probably talk about some stuff after RTX. But if you're here again in Austin, then please stop by our party. It has all the details on our website. We're at the Moonshine Patio Bar and Grill at 7:30 on Saturday, August 8th. So please run by there if you have the chance. And our panel is also at 2:30 on Saturday for 90 minutes, including myself, Bio, Fumo, and Spellcheck on the panel. So that'll be a lot of fun. That is going to wrap it up for us. Please make sure you check out the podcast network. That is thepodcast.com, where you can check out shows like Guardian Radio, Criticast, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. There's some good podcasts to listen to if you're looking for some other gaming podcast to fill your time, whether it be for your drive, your day at work, etc., etc. Or if you're just interested in some of those other gaming podcasts because you're interested in those games, then I'd recommend checking out that little network of ours and go over and tell them that we sent you. Make sure you check out our website, social media, all that fun stuff. If we have it, then you can just go to poddecker.com/whatever it is and we'll take you right to it. Obviously, we are not doing streams this week because we have sucky internet at our condo for RTX. So sorry for everyone who was expecting stream for this podcast and for our little staff achievement night that we were planning on doing. We're going to try to record video for any of the gameplay stuff that we were planning to do and then post it up on YouTube so you won't miss any of that. And that'll wrap it up for us tonight. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. And we are about to hit our 500th episode, which will be our panel live stream, of course. So hopefully everyone will get a chance to see that go down live. So that is going to be it. Thanks, everybody. Keep on fragging trucks.